Well, it's good to be together and to be able to worship together. And today we're going to take a look at a couple of psalms together. It's a good week as we pray for our teams. Our team headed off to Honduras, and I'm so excited about what they're doing there and that we're able to do that mission. I'm also excited that we have FCA camp coming up, and we're able to host that again and just pour into lives of these young men, and I'm looking forward to that. Believe it or not, school's about to start. Did you guys know that? Did you notice? And so we're starting to think about and pray for and plan for how do we bless families and schools as that starts off. So all of that is on our mind today, but we're going to take a few minutes and just come to the Word. And we're going to look at two different psalms this morning. Would you pray with me as we open the Scripture together? Father, I give you thanks for your Scripture. I pray that you would meet us here as we've gathered to sing and to pray and to open your Word. May we know your presence. And in your presence and by your presence, may we be changed. May we be made new. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. Some of you are good sleepers. Some of you just go straight to bed, no problem. Your head hits a pillow, you're out. That's some of you. That's not me. I am not a good sleeper. I will tell you that someone in our home snores. I don't want to throw anyone under their bus or anything, but there's a snorer in my room, and I say that makes it rough. But really, if I was being really honest, it's my mind starts to rehearse all the things, especially all the things that are messed up as I lay down in bed. I start to think about all the conversations I had through the day where I said stuff I shouldn't have said. And I'm like, I can't believe I said that. And I go through all those. And then I start to think of all the things that I need to address and that just aren't being looked at. And then the honey-do list starts coming, you know, kind of into the mind. And all the things broken in, on the house and stuff I've got to get done. And then all the people that I'm worried about and my mind just races. And so what I do, I get a little earbud. I put a little earbud in, and I put a podcast on, and I get something like, you know, like an economics, something that's just going to put me to sleep, you know. And I'll just listen to that, and it distract my mind and finally drift off to sleep. I thought I was the only person or one of, you know, I don't know how common the problem was until I started reading the Psalms. And today we're going to look at Psalm 4, and in Psalm 4 we see David, he's laying down, we think he's sleeping in a cave at this point. That's what the scholars think. He's probably on the run when his son was building power and David's leadership was under great threat, but we hear David tossing and turning at night in a cave with these questions rattling around in his brain. Let's look at this together. If you got your phone app, your Bible, pull it out, whatever you use, grab your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 4. It says this, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." this nighttime psalm of David. David's leadership is actually in crisis here. And when I face a crisis in my life, in our family, as I face a crisis, I often have a hard time with perspective. Often all I can see is the crisis. All I notice are the problems. All I think about is the brokenness. That's what rolls around in my brain. David's a good one to look to at this time because David had a lot of crisis. I don't know if you know, but David's story was full of crisis. Seemed like every other day, every other page, David is in crisis of some sort. And so, so we turn with David into this psalm, and we hear that question. There's a question there that David asked that just caught me this week. He says this is verse 6, he says, who will bring prosperity? Who's going to bring prosperity? As David lays there, many of you have faced that question. That can be a crippling question. I remember when, about 2009, my wife and I felt called to plant a church, to start a new church, just from scratch in the suburbs of Austin, Texas, and we moved down to start this new church. It was so exciting. It was so fun until it wasn't. And then, it was hard, right? And there were these days when we didn't know, is the church going to exist next week or the week after that? And there were these moments when the finances just didn't add up. And we go, are we going to have a salary and the finances going to be there for my family? And that question just rolled around in my heart at night. Who will bring prosperity? Many of you know that question in your own life. I was looking at my kids as they grow up just this week. I was thinking about my two teenagers and they're kind of the last few years I have with them before college, my little guys, and our family's so busy and just passing, we're just running from one thing to the next, and I was feeling like I couldn't get a hold of them all, and just kind of gather them all in and capture them. I was thinking about how do I equip them to be great adults, and how do I equip them to make it in the next phase of life, and I was thinking about missing the boat on that and not, I gotta get a hold of these guys and get everybody ready for their next step. And that question, who will bring prosperity? See, that rattled in my heart when I was thinking about my kids. Who will bring prosperity to them in their lives? Think about it for us as a church. Who's going to bring prosperity? That's a question that'll keep you up at night. I want to look for a minute at what David does. Because David, he actually goes through this fourfold pattern. In this fourfold pattern in this passage, and I want us to get a glimpse of it because it'll help us to start to orient ourselves and point ourselves towards God in moments when we ask these questions. Here's the first thing: David runs to God, not away from God. Right? He starts off, "Answer me when I call you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." David doesn't run away from God. Sometimes when I'm in the middle of crisis, when things aren't going well, sometimes I think, I don't know, where is God? But I don't think to ask God where he's at. I just sort of go, God missed the boat on this. And I just sort of drift away. And I try to work on stuff myself. But I don't necessarily turn to God and begin a conversation. Or even worse, when I think things are going wrong, I find shame in that. And I'll actually hide from God. I'll run from God as if when I were to talk to God, he would remind me of the brokenness in me. He would remind me of how I didn't measure up. He would remind me of how the problems I'm actually facing are the problems I created. And I'm the fault for them. And so I hide from God. But not David. David turns to God. David has a conversation with God. Even if he created the problems, he turns towards God. And here's the second thing that he does. There's a pastor and writer named Paul David Tripp that takes a look at this psalm, and one of the things that he points out is just excellent. He says, David starts to do identity work. He starts to look at his own identity. He reminds himself of who he is. Listen to that. This is verse 3. Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. David reminds himself that he is a child of the Most High God. He's not just some guy trying to survive, just try to make it through the next day and just make it through this incredibly broken, hard, difficult world. No, he's the son of the Most High God. That is his identity. David reminds himself of that. You know, as a pastor here, I love being able to be on this team and this staff and be part of this incredible church, but we don't do tons of like pastor perks. It's just not our deal. There's not like a really cool parking spot with a big sign for the pastor. That's just not our MO. But I've got one cool perk. In my office, I have my own private bathroom. Now, I mean, that's cool, right? Now, the toilet's only this high because it used to be the nursery, you know, way back in the day. But it's just cool. You got your own private bathroom. Every once in a while, when my kids are here and they're running around the building for whatever reason, they will come into my office, don't even say hi to me, just go right past me and go into my private bathroom. They go, use that private. They looked around. They thought, of all the bathrooms, they remember, I'm the pastor's kid, you know, and I know how to get a private bathroom. So they go right in to the private bathroom. Now, that's silly and funny, but David reminds himself who he is. He's God's son, and he has an audience with God, that God will actually listen to him when he speaks to him. This is an incredible thing. So David turns toward God, and then he starts to do this identity work. He starts to remind himself who he is. You know, some of the biggest struggles we face are when we put our identity in other places. We start to put our identity in things like our work or even our marriage. And as we do that, those things get adrift sometimes. They get knocked off and they get broken. And as they do, we have this crisis of identity. Because we don't put our identity in only the one true God. We put it all over the place. And suddenly we find ourselves in great crisis. It's not my identity to be the pastor of this church. That's a good thing. That's part of who I am, but that's not where my identity rests. It's not my identity to be the husband of Cammie. That's fun. That's great, except for snoring. But I'm just kidding. Y'all don't tell her. She's not here this morning. Don't tell her. Okay. I snore too, just so you know. All right. That's fun. That's great. But that's not my identity, right? It's not my identity to be the father of these kids. That's part of who I am. But my identity is a child of God, sons and daughters of the living God. My identity rests there, and there alone. And David reminds himself of this. And here's the third thing, that third part of that pattern. He examines his own heart, this quiet examination of his heart. This is from verse 4. When you're on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. The sobering look, this honest view of himself, recognizing really how fallen he is. When he starts to ask the question, who will bring prosperity? Well, with a quiet examination of himself, he starts to understand, it's not me. I can't bring that prosperity. And so he starts to refocus. He starts to turn him towards God. Which leads to the next part of the pattern, which is to turn towards God in worship, to lean into this relationship. This is verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. He turns to worship. When he takes this quiet examination of himself and the brokenness of himself, it then turns him to worship of this holy God, this God that speaks all things into existence, this God that has given him access. He refocuses towards God. He turns towards worship. He leans into the relationship. And then we get to the end of that psalm. And it's a beautiful end as it closes up. It says this, in peace I will lie down and sleep, For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. He comes to this place of totally trusting in God. He's able to say that line, you alone, Lord. He trusts in God, in only God. As I was writing this and putting this together, I was reminded of the zip line I had put in our backyard in Texas. It was a little zip line from a playground. I didn't know where to tie it off, so I put it to a tree that was behind our fence. So the zip line kind of ran right into the fence, but it got close to the ground, so your feet would totally hit the ground. That made it great, no problem. But I remember a little Augie. This was a couple of years ago now, so he was a pretty little dude, and he gets up on the zip line. He's sort of afraid. His brother had gone. His sisters had gone on the zip line. He's a little bit afraid. I'm like, dude, you're going to be fine. You get down to the bottom, your feet are going to hit that ground. Don't worry. You're going to be totally fine. Didn't work out that way, actually. He kind of held his feet up. He trusted Dad, you know, 1, 2, 3, off. He was so scared, but he trusted me, and he zipped right into that fence. I mean, head first. Bang, off the fence. He hit so hard, it bounced him back up the zip line, and he came back down, and he got it again. I felt awful. I was chuckling a little bit, but not visibly. I felt terrible as a parent, you know. I rushed over and grabbed him. He was so faithful. He's still hanging on to the bar. He never let go. I get a hold of him, and I think to myself, good time to teach you a lesson. Son, don't trust anyone, you know. Only God. No, I did not say that. I think, who can you trust? David comes to this place where he says, in God alone. I put my trust there. Who will bring prosperity? It's in God alone. Did you notice that David goes to sleep in peace that night? He doesn't have all the answers. See, I think to myself, well, if God would just give me the answers, if God would just give me the plan, if he would just line out the details for me, then I would know what's going on. I could get some peace. I could go to sleep. David doesn't have that. He only has the presence of God. But he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has invited him into his presence, and that God is holding his life in his hands, and that God is holding his family in his hands. And he knows that God is holding his whole nation in his hands. So David has this person of God. That's what he's got, not a plan, not the answers. He's got the presence, the person of God. And in that alone, he rests and sleeps. We got time for one more, all right? We're going to do chapter 5. We're going to do Psalm 5. Here's what it says. Psalm 5, see, 4 was a nighttime psalm, but 5? 5's a morning psalm, all right? And 5, I don't know if this is the next day, probably not. I mean, I don't know, some other point in his life. But at 5, this is David, again, writing. It's a morning psalm. And I want you to get it, because there's turmoil again. Even though David was able to go to sleep in peace that night and rest, these things just keep coming at you. One of the things I love about going to the Psalms is that, you know, there's resolution. They find rest in God. But there's this recognition of the way that we all live life, that the next morning other things come our way. Other crises arise, and we have to face them as well. And so the Psalms just keep pointing us back to God. They just keep pointing us back. Here's Psalm 5. Let's look at this together. Psalm 5, pick it up in verse 1. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, the bloodthirsty and deceitful. You, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. I wanted to look at this for a minute That psalm goes on. We'll just take this segment. But I want to look at this for a minute and look at the pattern that David does with this psalm. Notice that it starts off with David running towards God again. He runs towards God, not away. He engages in the conversation. Listen to my words. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help. And then David moves to identity work. Now in Psalm 4, David reminds himself of who he is, Son of the Most High God, that he's given access to the Father. But in Psalm 5, the identity work is different. In Psalm 5, David doesn't remind himself of who he is. David reminds himself who God is. He starts to look at the identity of this God. He says, this is a God who loves justice. This is a God who does not tolerate wickedness. This is a God who does not let brokenness stand. This is a God who is at work in the world, who is at work for justice, who hates evil. This is a God who loves mercy. This is a God who restores and brings righteousness. He sets things right. So David is reminded in this, not just who he is, but who this God is that he's able to speak to, what this God cares about, that God's not just going to let the world around him languish forever, that God's not just going to allow this brokenness in his nation and in his family, that God will restore, that God will set things right. He runs to God. He starts reminding himself of the identity, this time of God. Now, there's this recognition of who he is, very similar to the quiet evaluation of his heart. In this, you see it come out in a different way. You know, David was the king at this time. Kings don't do a lot of bowing down, but David recognizes who's the one true king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So in verse 2, he addresses God, my King and my God. In verse 7, he comes back down and it says this, in reverence I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord. David, the king, dethrones himself. And in this psalm, puts God in his rightful place. He's reminded that God is King and Lord overall, he recognizes who he is and who he is not. He bows in reverence. Only God will bring prosperity. And then David turns to worship. All right? He turns towards worship. He says, I bow down toward your holy temple. He leans into the relationship with God. He leans in to worship. And then finally, you know, the psalm before, the nighttime psalm, David is praying, God, give me your peace, you know, that he can sleep, that he can rest in that peace. But in the daytime psalm, David prays, Lord, lead me. See, this is at the beginning of the day, and he knows he needs to get to work. But instead of getting to work with the whole weight of the nation on his shoulders, instead of getting to work saying, I'm the one that's got to lead to prosperity, no one else is going to do this, David goes to work, and he says, lead me. God, take every step of my day today and make it your step. God, prepare the path in front of me. That's how David ends this. God, take every bit of my day, every little thing, every decision that I'm going to make and make it yours. Would you lead me today as I head to work? I love these two psalms together because this is not really these are not Sunday psalms. These are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday kind of psalms. They're the normal cycle of our day, and it's the night and the day. They always do things backwards. I think of day and then night, but not these Hebrew thinkers. They're night and day. That's just how they work. They think through a whole cycle. David gives every part of his life to God. When he goes to bed, he recognizes he's the son of the one true God. He invites God's presence into his life. He knows that only in the presence of God he's going to be held fast and he goes to sleep. You know what I do? I put on a podcast and try to drown out all the other conversation in my brain. Not David. David rests in the arms of God. He turns towards God. And in the morning, I get up and hit the ground running. All the things I've got to scurry and do, but not David. David stops and says, every decision I'm going to make today, every move I'm going to make, everything I'm going to do today, God, today is yours. All of it. And then David just keeps doing that every day, day after day. His whole life, evening and then morning. David lives this simple faith. God, I rest in your embrace as I fall asleep. And I follow every step of your lead as I wake up to go to work. May we live that way. Let me pray for us. Father, I give you thanks for this word. For David, who inspired to write these psalms, all the very vulnerable things are going on in his life. And yet he puts it out in front of us. May we live this way. May we rest in your embrace, knowing that only you bring prosperity. And may we get up and go in the direction you call us, no matter where it is to go. And may we do this day after day after day. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.